In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you like coffee? Do you drink a lot of coffee? Melanie and I drink a lot of coffee. A couple months ago, our old coffee maker at home wore out and broke down after several years and probably thousands of pots. The new coffee maker is one of those that grinds the beans and then shoots them into the filter. The first pots of coffee that we made with it were really awful. They had the color and the taste of dishwater. We reread the manual to make sure that we were brewing the coffee correctly, and even though we meticulously followed the manufacturer's instructions, the coffee was still way too weak. We were ready to declare the coffee maker broken and ship it back to Amazon, but before admitting defeat, we wanted to play with it just a little bit more. Finally, we stumbled on how to brew a nice cup of coffee in that machine. It's not exactly the way the directions say, but with a little finesse and a little love and care, it makes a fine cup of coffee. And after all, isn't that what really matters? Just like things can be broken, people can be broken. Our gospel reading, Mark chapter 6, verse 56, says that in all the towns and villages wherever Jesus and his disciples went, the people brought out their sick. They put the sick in the marketplace so that they could touch the fringe of Jesus' garment or Jesus touch them and they could be healed. Can you imagine the mass of broken human bodies there must have been piled up in that marketplace? It must have looked like an open-air intensive care ward in a third world country. In my lifetime, I've had several broken bones, some non-cancerous growth, and a host of other illnesses. I'm probably typical of most people here. But you and I are fortunate to live in an era where bones can be set and surgeries performed and many disabilities managed with physical therapy and with eyeglasses, hearing aids, and prostheses. Although broken, we can live and look normally. How many people in Jesus' day must have been blind and deaf and immobile and disfigured by illnesses that we could easily treat today? All those suffering, broken people lying there, waiting, begging for Jesus to come, must have been a heartbreaking sight. Their emotional and spiritual brokenness and despair may have been even worse than their physical brokenness. You and I are broken too. Maybe we are not broken like the people in the marketplace in Jesus' day, but we are broken nonetheless. Some of us are wore down physically and mentally. The strain of too many years and too much stress takes its toll on our bodies and our minds. Perhaps we've made bad decisions. We didn't follow God's directions, and we couldn't escape the consequences. Maybe we have been betrayed or cheated or abandoned by people, even by people that we loved and trusted. I think that hurts the worst. How many times have our hearts been broken and souls scarred by the wounds of life? Brokenness always tracks back to the effects of sin. Our sins, or sins against us, or just the sin that permeates the world. Yet some scars, some of the lingering effects, the marks of our brokenness, have a certain kind of beauty. Think about antiques and historical artifacts, for instance. The statue known as the Venus de Milo has its arms broken off, yet it's a priceless work of art. The Leaning Tower of Pisa leans. The Liberty Bell has a crack in it. I have just a couple of my great-grandfather's blacksmithing tools, and they're beat up pretty badly, but to me, they're beautiful. There's an old joke about a sign in a store window that says, "We buy old furniture, we sell antiques." Well, what's the difference between merely being old and being antique? I'd say it's the story that goes with it. It's the meaning behind the item. Ever go in a local bar or restaurant and there's memorabilia on the walls, maybe a photograph of the last high school team to win a football championship, or maybe the rod and reel that somebody used to catch a prize-winning fish? Then you go into a national chain restaurant, and there's an impressionistic painting of someone, no one in particular, kicking a soccer ball, or a catcher's mask that was never actually used in a game. Those local things have meaning. These generic things do not. There's no meaning. There's no story there. I imagine many of the people who were lined up to have Jesus healed them had stories about how their scars and their brokenness were earned. Maybe there was a mother who caught leprosy from treating a leprous child. Maybe there was a father who broke his arm and lost its use, earning money to feed his family. Or maybe some people had just been born disabled for reasons only known to God, but they struggled on, working and hoping. Where are your scars? When were you broken and how? What does your sacrifice mean? You can't fake authenticity. As the guy on Pawn Stars says, replica means fake, and it doesn't take much to spot a phony. A while back, distressed furniture was in vogue. I watched a TV program about how to take new furniture and with sandpaper, a hammer, and a blowtorch, make it look old and worn to make it more interesting. Who would want to take something brand new and purposely make it look old when there's no meaning behind it? We Christians are all broken in some way. Genuine Christians bear genuine scars. Serving Christ isn't easy. It brings us into conflict with the world's values. There is a personal cost to discipleship. It puts us out of step with culture. Jesus warned us that following him would even turn our family and closest friends against us. That's only to be expected because we see how the world treated Jesus, and he was the Son of God. They hung him on a cross. Can we expect to be treated any better than Jesus was? Jesus doesn't promise us a carefree life and health and wealth and always a great parking spot, even on a crowded parking lot. The church cannot promise you success in all your endeavors. Faith isn't magic. St. Paul said something about Christianity being very profitable if you were already content with what you have. But don't think that we Christians are losers, that we just love to wallow in our self-pity, reveling in our failures, and excusing or denying our brokenness. There is a benefit to faith. We are blessed even in our broken world, and especially beyond this broken world. Christ is ultimately victorious. Here's a way to think about brokenness in the context of Christian life. There's a contemporary Christian music song, sort of a Christian love song, called Broken Together. The song's about two people who are imperfect, they've made mistakes, they've hurt each other. It's about two broken people. What they say to one another is, rather than let's break our relationship apart, can't we remain together even though we're broken? The chorus goes, maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, could healing still be spoken and save us? The only way we'll last forever is broken together. Could it be that what is true in marriage and family relationships is also true in communities, in the church, and in the world? If you look around yourself right now, you can be sure that every person you see is broken in some way or another. And look at yourself. You're broken too. Maybe we hide it really well, but we are broken. Recognizing that we all are broken, that everyone is a sinner, that none of us is perfect, is the first step toward forgiveness and healing. It's called compassion. Jesus healed the broken people in the marketplace, and he shares with us healing power today. That is called mercy. Let's not be so quick to dismiss and discard the broken people in our lives. What if Jesus decided to get rid of all of the toxic people in his life? Well, then we'd all be dead. We can heal others by letting go of old grudges. The person you have an issue with, they have suffered just like you. They are as broken as you are. Couldn't you use someone cutting you a break? Do that for someone else. Just let it go. We can heal others with even a smile and a friendly greeting. We're broken, so our healing can't quite be complete in this world. But we can look at someone who bothers us and say to ourselves about them, God loves you and I'm trying. You might be even able to say that out loud to them. People might have more of a sense of humor, even a self-depreciating sense of humor, than we give them credit for. People might also have the amazing power to forgive. God uses our brokenness to our good. If we didn't have some problems, we might think that all of our power, all of our success, all of the good that we do comes from us, not from God working through us. Paul spoke about a thorn in his flesh that kept him from getting too elated. Our brokenness keeps us humble. Our brokenness reminds us that we are totally dependent on God. Jesus healed the broken, and he himself was broken. Before nailing him to the cross, they pulverized him. What was it like on the cross? The word excruciating comes from the word for cross. That about says it all. Jesus was broken for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for our spiritual healing. How can then we not forgive others? And Jesus is still being broken. Each week we celebrate the Holy Communion, a memorial to his passion and death. Have you noticed the piece that I try to accentuate in our communion liturgy in your bulletin? It's called the fraction. That's the breaking of the host, the big wafer, done to remind us how Jesus' body was broken for us on the cross. And now he comes to us in his Holy Supper, giving us his true body broken and his true blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus won't dismiss or discard us. What an amazing, awesome thing. Jesus broken repairs our broken lives. This meal that we share is a foretaste of the feast to come, the great messianic banquet of the Lamb, when we will all be together in eternity praising God. Christ will come again, just as he went into the marketplace to heal those sick people. And he will heal all of our brokenness when he comes. We will know his everlasting love and care. Broken together, let us keep watching and hoping and praying for that great day. That's what really matters. Amen.